your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, you're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. You can download the Green Room app on pretty much any app store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Talk to our hosts and get in on the action. My name is Sarah Avampato. Glad to be here with you as always, host of this show. Also, you can hear me on Mondays on this show and on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, where I guess am happy that my team isn't doing some of the same wacky things that other teams have been doing this week in hockey. I'm joined again by Jess Belmosto, host of Locked On Calgary Flames, who I think you're also probably a little happy that your team isn't doing some of the wacky stuff that has been happening here. And we'll start with one of the big trades that actually could have maybe gone poorly for you if your GM had been in on this one. And that is Duncan Keith going from the Chicago Blackhawks to the Edmonton Oilers because he requested a trade to Western Canada to be closer to his son, which is actually an admirable reason to see a hockey player get traded. But do you feel already off the bat that like bullet dodged here with the Calgary Flames and not picking him up?
Oh, absolutely. I know we're still early in the off season, but I feel like this is going to be like one of the top three biggest bullets dodged for the Calgary Flames and really any other team out there.
Definitely a move that raises a lot of eyebrows because it's a little bit like, wow, did anyone in Edmonton watch hockey this past year? And it kind of seems like the answer might be no. For people who have somehow missed out on this trade, Duncan Keith is going to Edmonton in exchange for defenseman Caleb Jones and a third round pick. There's some conditions on that that involved Edmonton reaching the Stanley Cup final, which LOL. And he also has to be one of the top defensemen in ice time, which is actually plausible given that he would play as many minutes as you could possibly give him even still today. And there were some other like minor league piece deals kind of thrown in too, but that's really, really the gist of it. And basically every analytics thing has panned this entirely, showing how much of a step he has lost in his game, even though Chicago has still relied on him for big minutes. Edmonton thinks that he might somehow provide things to help them get to the Stanley Cup. A little strange. The reaction from Chicago has also been interesting too, because, you know, he's sort of one of the last pieces of the kind of Stanley Cup winning core. All that's left now is Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane on the team. Duncan Keith was, you know, part of that team before they were good. And Chicago fans seem to like be okay with this, like sad, obviously, but I think the fact that he wanted to be close to his son really made it a little easier to accept than, you know, a player being like, I need to be traded so I can go win or something. Obviously he wants to do that, but first and foremost, he talked about a period in the past season where he only saw his son once in 5 months. You can't begrudge a guy for wanting to have a change of scenery just to be closer to his kid, especially after, you know, the pandemic. And I'm sure everyone thinks a lot more about family and all that stuff, but a bittersweet trade for Chicago, but I think that they'll probably be glad to not have to deal with the Duncan Keith problem. And even better, Chicago retained no salary. So Edmonton is on the hook for his whole cap hit. I don't know what Edmonton is doing.
Neither do I, honestly. I think that Ken Holland forgot to ask about the whole retaining salary thing. Must have just slipped his mind. I'm looking at Duncan Keith's hockey reference page right now, and he was playing like an average of 23 minutes a night for a guy who's 37 years old. And you know, that's impressive. And I think that kind of goes to show that there are players who, you know, do take their health and fitness very seriously and, you know, can kind of squeeze in an extra few years out of their career. like we're seeing with Chara, which we talked about before the show.
Duncan Keith, for whatever he has dropped off in skill wise, you know, routinely wins all of the fitness testing that the Blackhawks do. And he's basically a beast still in that sense. He just, I know he's had knee injuries over the years and everyone declines eventually. And he has hit his, but Edmonton somehow thinks he could be the secret. So I guess good luck to them. Good luck to the Blackhawks, who I guess are even more full rebuild mode than they were before. They don't really have anyone to take Duncan Keith's place. Although I think now there's rumors of, are they going to try to land Seth Jones or Dougie Hamilton? I just have all of the things we're talking about today. One of them I think I get, but the rest of them just make no sense. And this one makes sense from Chicago's perspective because they don't have to worry about Duncan anymore. But like, man, hockey is just something.
I feel like we're just playing like hockey Mad Libs right now. Like, we're just filling in the blanks without any context, anything at all. And teams are just going for it. I think that they have no idea what's going to happen come the expansion draft next week. And they're just kind of winging it. They're either holding the cards close to their chest and waiting for free agency, or they're saying, oh my God, let's just do this right now. Get it over with and have no real plan.
That describes, I think pretty much all of the NHL, just no real plans. So
yeah,
I can't wait to see how all of this ends. We've got more wacky hockey news coming up over the course of the rest of the show. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about a couple cool things like Spotify Green Room. Jess, tell us all about Green Room.
Yes. So Spotify Green Room is a great way to connect with other sports fans. And it's a free app that you can download right in the App Store. And it's a, you know, great place to find basically live podcasts where you can contribute your thoughts and even jump on to speak with other, either the host or other people in the room. I think it's a great way to start discussions and just enhance the sports Mad Libs game even more. And it's a great way to, of course, interact with other Locked On hosts.
And it's free. I love free.
Who doesn't?
So you can go download the Spotify Green Room app today on pretty much any app store and get to have cool conversations with all of our Locked On hosts. And you can probably have conversations about Built Bars with them because we have all certainly had our fair share of them. I actually, no joke, no lie, right before the show, had the cookie dough chunk Built Bar as a little snack since I didn't get around to dinner yet, because Built Bars are protein bars that taste like candy bars. And the best thing is, aside from how good they taste, is that they're also good for you because they are low in calories, low in sugar, high fiber, high protein, and covered in 100% chocolate, which I think that if you cover anything in chocolate, it's automatically like way better. Built Bars come in a whole bunch of great flavors, including mint brownie, orange, cookies and cream, and many more. So you can always go to builtbar.com and check it out and see what they've got and also learn about some of the limited edition flavors that they are usually having available. So you can go to built.com or builtbar.com, check out what they've got, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. So the other big news that dropped on Tuesday, which was a surprise to literally everybody until, you know, moments before the news came out, was that the Minnesota Wild have bought out the contracts of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, who had signed 13-year contracts back in the day, back in 2012, when those contracts were still allowed. And now they are ending their careers they're ending their tenure, at least, with the Minnesota Wild, which it creates a few issues for the Wild. It opens up some roster spots, But the cap hit is going to get really weird, because if you aren't aware, what happens with buyouts is that the team still has to pay, and there are still hits on the cap for that. And at the 2023-24 season and the 2024-25 season, the Wild are going to be paying about $15 million each year to not have Parise and Suter play for them. And what happened? Like, everyone was surprised by this. And it almost made sense until you see those 2 years where they've got $15 million of dead cap space, which is like, I'd quit. I'd be like, as a GM person, I'd be like, well, I'm done here.
It's just like, okay, we're just gonna buy them out and take this really big hit when we really don't know what the salary cap is going to do over these next few years. So, like, is this worth the supposed protecting of Matt Dumba or what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very interesting decision. And to give everyone a preview, next Monday's Locked On NHL, we're going to be talking with Seth Topel from Locked On Wild to get his perspective on all of this. You know, for the Wild, I think they're kind of looking at it as the next couple of seasons, this is going to free up room for them to sign guys like Kevin Fiala to a new contract and not have to worry quite so much about money. There's still the lingering question of Kirill Kaprizov and what he's going to get, what kind of deal he's going to take. And so I think that they're trying to be conscious of that too. And yeah, like you said, this also opens up positions in the for the expansion draft that they now no longer have to protect Parise and Suter. They don't have to have any awkward, like, hey, do you want to waive your no movement clause or anything? They just, you know, don't exist anymore for purposes of this exercise. But yeah, it seems extreme, and it makes me wonder, like, was last year now the only good year of the Minnesota Wild that we're going to see? Like, how much of a mess is this going to leave them in once they get to those years with the $15 million cap hit?
It just, again, hockey Mad Libs. Like, you don't know. I don't know. None of us know what this means or what the future holds, but I feel like the Wild were finally kind of getting to that point where they were fun to watch. And then, you know, they just kind of keep taking these sharp left turns back to being a team in Minnesota that no one really cares about. Like, they're doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm going to go back to not being able to name many players on the team anymore, which doesn't really bode well for them. There is a report that just came out actually a little bit before we started recording. Darren Drager had this one, so who knows if it's true or not. He has not always had 100% accurate information, not to drag him, but to just put the truth out there. He did say today that he does think the Wild are trying to make a trade offer for Jack Eichel, which also, again, hockey Mad Libs. Like,
right,
where did this come from and why and how and what are they going to trade for Jack Eichel? Like, what do they have?
They have nothing left.
Like, they're gonna trade, like, yeah, there, because you would assume that, you know, Buffalo would want an actual roster player to get back in, right, that trade. And really the only interesting player they have is Joel Eriksson-Ek, who they just signed to an extension, so I don't think the Wild are going to be giving him up. I don't know that they have, like, they have a, like, you know, Marco Rossi's probably their best prospect, who knows what his, right, career is going to look like after he had COVID, like, and didn't get to do anything this past year. I don't know that they have a whole ton of really elite prospects that would even be interesting for Buffalo either. So I don't know what's going on there, or what they think they're doing, or what they're going to accomplish. But yeah, here we are again. Mad Libs.
I hope they maybe had an outside, or like somebody just really sit them down and talk this through, because I don't know if this was an impulsive decision, or because it just seems so out of left field and everything that it just doesn't seem like it was well thought through.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of it is Bill Guerin, the new GM, coming in and kind of wanting to put his own spin on the team, and that includes, mm-hmm. you know, getting rid of players who have been there for a while and changing things up. And, you know, I think he was a bit of a breath of fresh air after some of the slightly odd moves that the previous GM made, and everyone was like, all right, this guy has his head on straight, and now there's this, which, you know, I think, you know, with Parise especially, I think the people were like, oh, okay, like the buyout makes sense, he's not necessarily as good as he used to be. But Suter, I feel like as soon as his name came up, pretty much everyone else was like, can we get him for like $1 million? Because he's past his prime, but he can still play. Parise's had enough injury issues and everything that I think teams should be a little more wary about him. But Ryan Suter is going to get a ton of phone calls because he can still contribute and probably will take very little money given how much the Wild still have to pay him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if he can find, you know, a nice landing spot, why not go for it? So he'll make somebody happy.
Yeah, I think enough teams look for that kind of veteran leadership that, yeah, someone is going to want to give him money. I mean, someone's going to probably sign Zach Parise too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
The same intangibles, even if he ends up being a scratch a lot because of whatever. But yeah, just very strange move by the Wild. And it's a very unsentimental move from a GM who didn't have anything to do with bringing these guys in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little ruthless, but they're going to get paid a lot of money to not necessarily do anything, which I think honestly is kind of the dream.
That's my dream. But I did see a tweet, and I wish I screenshotted it or sent it to you. But apparently one of them found out that they were being bought out through an email.
Oh, not even a phone call.
Right. Like no phone call, nothing. So I think that goes to show you Bill Guerin's kind of, I don't want to say like connection, but just his emotions in this, because there clearly mm-hmm. weren't any behind mm-hmm. this move. So, yeah. I mean, I found out I lost a job over Facebook, but I feel like an email probably be worse.
I feel like that's only a step above the guys who find out they're being traded via Twitter.
Oh, like, my God, I know.
Which is definitely, yeah, definitely happens. Would not like it, but yeah, just a kind of sad end to the Minnesota careers, at least, of two guys who have been pretty iconic for that team. So we, of course, will keep an eye on what happens next with both of them. We've got a little bit more hockey news to talk about right after this. But first, I want to tell you all about betonline.ag, because that is where you want to go if you want to get in on all of the sports betting action, which I know is basically like the thing all the cool kids are doing these days. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place all sorts of sports bets. And it doesn't matter what sport it is that you're interested in, if it is baseball, basketball, football, fighting, anything like that. Hockey, of course, obviously, you can already place bets on who you think is going to win the Stanley Cup next year. You can go to betonline.ag and find out all of that stuff. You can get news, odds, information, contests, all that great stuff on betonline.ag. So this is your chance to get into the game. Head over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And one of the last big news stories that we have that has happened in this whirlwind about 48 hours for the NHL was actually kind of overshadowed by the announcement of the Minnesota Wild buyouts, which is the fact that Pekka Rinne, who has been the Nashville Predators goaltender for 15 years, has announced his retirement, which is not necessarily a surprise, but still feels like a bit of a bittersweet end to a career of a guy who has overcome a bunch to continue playing at a high level, had a lot of health issues in the past, and still gave it his all for the Nashville Predators, who just could never quite reach the top of the mountain and win that Stanley Cup. But Pekkarinen saying goodbye, and it is a new era for the Nashville Predators, I think.
Yeah, I feel like they've got a bright future. I feel like just like every other team out there, they have to, you know, make a few adjustments and shake some things out. But you know, I loved watching Pekka. I think that he really was the heart and soul of that team, along with Roman Josi. But everybody on Twitter today was just kind of talking about their experiences that they had with him and how he was genuinely one of the nicest guys and just, you know, just a good person to be around. And that's something that you always like to hear and see, because, you know, these people, like, they put their heart and soul on the ice. You know, they go out there for 60 minutes and they talk to the media, they go home and they do it again the next day. But I think that when they take a few minutes to talk to the reporters and say, like ask about their family, ask about their friends, especially somebody who was in the organization as long as him, I'm sure he got to know a lot of the writers and people on the beat. So I'm sure it's going to be a little weird transitioning to, you know, this new era of the Predators.
And it's been really interesting too, seeing not just memories of him from Nashville, but he also did spend about two or three seasons in the AHL with the Milwaukee Admirals, which has been the longtime AHL affiliate for Nashville. So even many, many miles away from Nashville, people are sharing their great memories of Pekkarinen and how much of a great human he was, which in sports these days is not always a thing you can find in your professional athletes. A couple of stats about him. He has 60 career shutouts, which was third among active goalies that season, behind Marc-Andre Fleury and Henrik Lundqvist, who is, I feel like at this point, active in quotes, because no one knows if he's going to be able to come back. Career goals against average of 2.43. He is one of 12 goalies in NHL history with at least 350 wins and 60 shutouts. Had three 40-win seasons, which is second most in NHL history. He has the most games played, victories, and shutouts by a Finnish goalie in NHL history. And all of that on top of the fact that he was picked in a round of the draft that doesn't even exist anymore. He was the final pick of the eighth round of the 2004 draft, and has gone on to, you know, whenever people talk about like late bloomers or steals in the draft, he is definitely someone who will be an example of that for years to come.
Absolutely. And I think that it's a wake-up call for me, because I'm finally seeing like players that I grew up watching hit that point where they're retiring, and I'm like, oh no, 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 don't do that.
Don't do that.
No. But in all seriousness, I'm very happy for him, and I think that it's a shame that he never won a cup, but I believe it was his Player Tribune article that he wrote his farewell letter for, and he said, you know, we've helped turn this city into a hockey town or hockey city, whatever, and we're gonna bring the cup here someday because that's what we do in hockey cities, or like something like just really sweet and like more about the fans than himself. And I hope that after a few years of retirement, he gets bored and maybe comes back as a goaltending coach or something, because I really want him to be part of that organization for life.
Yeah, I think he's definitely pretty iconic, like synonymous with the Predators at this point. I would be surprised if in the near future, like, yeah, he might take some time to relax and go on a real vacation or something, but I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up as a scout or in the front office or something, or like you said, eventually taking a coaching role, because it seems like he, you know, he has made Nashville his home and wants to stick around and win that cup eventually. So, you know, maybe someday they'll get to it. And of course, my real favorite Pekkarinen moment, he's the last goaltender to score a goal in the NHL, which just brilliant.
He's incredible. He's great. Love to see it.
And of course, it was against, you know, their arch rival Chicago, even though Chicago hasn't been particularly great the past couple of years. That clip was going around earlier today and I watched it a whole bunch of times. And it's just, I love seeing happy goalies. Like, mm-hmm. they look silly in all of their equipment. And he just looked so excited. And his teammates were so excited for him to have scored a goal. And you know, you can't even be mad when that happens. Like, if a goalie gets to score a goal on you, like, awesome.
Yeah, that's is one of those things that I remember everyone live tweeting. And it's just like, yeah, that's, I hate saying it, that that's like a highlight of his career. But, you know, scoring a goal as a goalie, that's pretty impressive.
Well, one other note about him that I thought was a little interesting, especially given some of the other stuff we talked about, and like you mentioned, seeing players you grew up watching now in that era of retiring. Well, I looked him up, and he's actually older than me, so I feel actually kind of good that he's older than I am, because, yeah, it's when a guy who's like way younger than me retires, I'm like, man, come on. So that first off, I was like, oh, success. But the real anecdote that I found pretty interesting, and that Pecorine shared, I think it might have also been in that Players Tribune article, he talked about Yusei Saros, who is the presumptive starter for the Nashville Predators after this. And he said that, you know, when he first started to get to know Saros, that he learned that Saros had like posters of him on his wall at home in Finland, and he like idolized Pekka. And Rene said something to the effect of like, that's when you realize your days are numbered, essentially, when the guy coming up behind you idolized you as a kid. And I definitely can't imagine that, how weird that has to be. But they have had a really fun mentor goalie, young goalie relationship that has sort of played out for fans. And I think people will miss that too. But they are leaving the Predators in good, albeit slightly shorter, hands with Yusei Saros. And I think that Pecorine, they have not seen the last of him in Nashville.
Absolutely not. I wish him nothing but the best. And I can't wait until they retire his jersey and unveil a statue right there on Broadway for him.
That would be awesome. That would get a trip to Nashville from me, because that'd be pretty cool to see. Well, that's kind of all of our big news. We didn't even like make fun of the Pierre Maguire news of him going.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
Let's spend like 2 minutes actually making fun of Pierre Maguire, even though it's like Eastern Conference. I feel like we deserve this.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how. Well, first, if you somehow missed this, Pierre Maguire was hired for the Ottawa Senators, and Pierre Maguire does not believe in statistics, like analytics. I just, in this day and age, how do you do that? How do you construct a team?
it's going to be very interesting. I know he's going to be doing a lot with like prospects and stuff, which again, like, are all of his prospect picks going to be like, this guy's 6'5" and he hits people?
Like, yeah, it's going to have to be. It'll be about like, okay, this is where his mom was born, his dad was born. Like, this is where he took his first steps. You know, I've been there. So, you know, boom, guy's going to be on my team. And just when you think that the hockey team is taking a step in the right direction, some idiotic move by the front office sets them back to where they were 2 years ago. And I want to see the Senators be good. I do, because I think that they deserve it. They deserve a little bit of happiness. But what is going on there? And then are they going to make him the GM when things inevitably go south?
Oh boy.
Oh my God. I can't.
Yeah. It's something. I can't wait to see this. For anyone who like hasn't had the great pleasure of reading this article, I'm pretty sure if you plug all of this into Google, it'll pop up. But he was at one point the coach and GM of the Hartford Whalers back in the day. And there's an amazing like semi-viral article, like I think it's in the AP, from or maybe one of the regional papers, from when he was that in that role, that just like excoriating him, like it is the most vicious article about how bad he was at his job. And if you haven't read this, like definitely go Google until you find it, because it is a really good read. And I somehow don't think he has changed very much over the past 20 plus years.
If somebody like wrote that about me, I, like that's not even constructive criticism. That's like reading me to filth. I would absolutely take a look at that and take a look in the mirror and be like, okay, you know, I'm clearly doing something, just a little bit of self-awareness, Pierre. Smidge, please.
Yeah, please. No, I would just like crawl into a hole and die.
Oh yeah. You think I'm gonna go broadcast on TV about how Charlie McAvoy's from Long Island? Nope. nope. Going into the cave,
right? I'm going to recede into the woods and no one will ever hear from me again.
Yep. I will be a thing of the past that you can all laugh at once in a while.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad we got to spend like 2 minutes making fun of Pierre Maguire. I feel like that's a really good unifying way to end the show today. For people who want to hear more from you, where can they find you and your show out there on the internet?
Sure. So you can hear me rant about mediocrity on Locked On Flames, and you can follow the Instagram account Locked On Flames as well. Again, still in the works with the Twitter, and you can follow me and my amazing pictures of my cat on Twitter at Jess Belmosto.
And you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. That's W-R-I-T-E Said Sarah with an H. I occasionally also have pictures of my horrible cats as well, so you can join me there. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. If for some reason you decide you want to care about the Los Angeles Kings, awesome, thank you, I hope you're okay. You can find that on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. And of course, all of these shows are available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you're subscribing to this show, Locked On NHL, so you never miss an episode, because we're here every day all week talking about the NHL. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing, and make sure you come back tomorrow and every day for more hockey news here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.